Jesus hid himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So Jesus does. But where is his little flower? She's the saint of the hour, our saint this Lent, this Passion Sunday, and even for this St. Patrick's Day. Her photo is in the vestibule, but her statue is veiled here with the rest. What have we learned together this Lent about St. Teresa, except that she is the saint of veils herself? We've seen her so devoted to the holy face imprinted on the veil of Veronica. And she sees in that veil the whole story of her soul. She sees her family, and she sees her father in their suffering. Her vision as a girl of her father's face veiled, that darkened image, remember, which was beyond recognition after the stroke with the onset of the mental illness. Veils, always veils. Our Lord, she says, veiled all of her faults, interior and exterior, from the others. She says, God made me appear better than I am, but he's God. And if he wants to do that, well, that's fine. And once, for one glorious week, Our Lady had her all week long, she says, under her veil. She was praying outside at the grotto when suddenly she felt herself covered with a veil of the Blessed Mother, and the things of earth just had a veil over them. For 7 days they were hidden. She realized then, very deeply, the truth of St. Louis de Montfort's doctrine that we, all of us, must live our Christian life in Mary. And so in one of her poems, she writes, O Mother, let me rest under your veil, close to Jesus, but only for today. For this, she realized that she had to remain little, adorned with childlike virtues, as we saw this Lent. And all of this she remembered during that long Passiontide of hers. It was 18 months when she was tempted to despair in the end, when God was so long veiled from her. And her suffering, which was a suffering for souls, was so severe. In this sense, and in so many senses, she's a sister, Therese is, to St. Patrick, that great missionary whom we celebrate today. The both of them made a sweet, gentle conquest of a multitude of souls, but never without suffering. St. Patrick made it as his goal, even before he returned to the Emerald Isle, to forget himself. How could you even get started unless you do? But before the end, he too had God for himself veiled in darkness. Some friend of his betrayed him, some confidence about a sin he had committed in the long ago as a teenager, which had long since been forgiven, he revealed. And because of it, St. Patrick was deposed for a while as the bishop and suffered very much until he could restore his good name. Detraction. My God, he must have cried out under his own veil, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? Why the redemptive value of suffering in the lives of the saints and potentially for you, for me? Why, if not that each one of us is meant to be a kind of priest or a missionary, just as St. Teresa felt herself called to be. And she answered the call by making that oblation, the offering of herself to the merciful love of God. The blood. St. Paul sings about it today in the epistle. The precious blood, to sprinkle it over souls to save them. That's why Patrick went back to the Irish who had enslaved him for 4 cruel years. He went back to save them, lest they should perish. It's easy for us to forget all of this and to go about our week as though we were never saved or redeemed, as though we were still just pagans, isn't it? Our Lord and his precious blood are veiled for most of us, for most of the time, for most of our lives. But how often some little grace, some wee creature, comes leprechaun-like into our lives to open our eyes. But it's so little, you'd almost miss it. In July of 1887, when Teresa was 14 years old, she was, as usual, with her family. They had rented a pew, remember, and that was the system back then, in the chapel on the epistle side of the altar in the cathedral. And Mass was over, and she got up and she closed her prayer book. And as she closed her prayer book, a holy card of the crucifixion fell out just a little bit, and she glanced down at the picture, and she saw just our Lord's hand and the nail and the blood. And she thought to herself, "My Lord, there's no one to collect your blood. It's falling to the ground." And she resolved at that moment to stay at the cross for the rest of her life and to offer his blood for sinners. Now, what else are we doing at this Mass this morning, if not that, to offer, to adore, to implore, to show sorrow for our sins, and to thank the love of that good God for us? Children, how could you ever be bored at Holy Mass? Not if your post is at Calvary and you're so close to the cross. You can see the blood coming out of the wounds, and it is your job to collect it in the chalice of your own heart and to offer it. St. Teresa understood that if she stayed Mary-like at her place at the foot of the cross, it would be a place of pain, because it is with our Lord who dies for our sins, to bear his cross with him, to catch the blood, to offer it, lest it should drain away and be lost. Now, to do that means more than just making a good Sunday Mass. The sacrifices that you have made this morning to hear your Mass surely are as nothing in comparison with those of the Irish for the centuries of their persecution. Talk of veils. Do you know that sometimes the priest would have to veil his face during Mass? He'd be inside in some little hut or lean-to, and the people would be out in the elements. And he would veil his face so that the people could say, under questioning from the hated British Protestants, that they did not know the priest. They did not see his face. And Sundays, even as late as the beginning of the 19th century, on Sundays in the big cities, at about this time, when you went in to the city, you'd see men, working men, on their knees on the sidewalks and in the streets, kneeling towards some doorway on the other side of which, in a small room, the priest was offering the Mass. And they had no churches, and there wasn't enough room for them all to fit in, and they weren't ashamed to kneel there in the street. But when Mass is done, don't you see, you must bear the cross still. The cross? First of all, your own imperfections. And to bear that cross with patience, as well as the pain, thoughtlessly or even deliberately inflicted on you by others. And never to retaliate. And never to be vindictive or violent, nor discouraged, nor an excuse for self-indulgence. This is the spirit of our Saint Therese, and this is the spirit of Saint Patrick and his people too, isn't it? It's gone now, the old Catholic Ireland, along with the old Mass and religion. It's the new springtime of Vatican II, don't you know? But that old Irish Catholic spirit, we won't forget it. And it is nothing if not Catholic. It's the spirit of all of the saints in all the countries of the world, in all the centuries. What is it? Little and humble and forgiving and poor and simple. Now, we're not talking of that showy simplicity of the leftists who have taken over the Vatican long since with their political agenda. Father Cicada told me of headlines in the paper he saw the other day. On first day, Pope Francis puts his humility on display. My dear friends, if you're humble, that's the last thing you'd be doing, is putting your humility on display. The genuine article gives God the best and then is content with the rest. But content, too, to be judged and despised for not being politically correct and all of the rest by the powers of this world, and to be joyful for it all. You'd almost think that St. Patrick was Irish, wouldn't you? St. Therese, I mean, that she was Irish too. And it's possible because you know that her last name is Martin. And they say that St. Patrick's mother, Conchessa, was a niece of the great St. Martin. In any case, she'd certainly qualify as an honorary Irishman today, this patroness of priests and of missionaries. For the rest, she knew what St. Patrick knew, and what priests know, and what you know, if you're faithful. That is to say, if you stay by your post at the cross, lest any of this blood be lost, but rather you offer it to God for those who need it the most, then not only in your Sunday Mass, but all week long, as St. Teresa wrote once to a young missionary priest, you know, it's necessary that you should experience temptations and the trials of life, and that you be not only a good missionary, but a saint on fire with the love of God and of souls. And no matter, we might add, if Jesus hides himself and is veiled from us. In a moment, after the creed is sung, when the Mass of the faithful begins, the server rings the bell, and the celebrant will remove the veil from the chalice to prepare the offertory. If you are a child of St. Teresa and of St. Patrick and a child of God, be faithful to your post. Stay there. Collect the precious blood. Who else will today? And offer it for the veiled and the hidden purposes of God, the salvation of many souls. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.